News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 presents Town Square Tonight, your chance to speak with Jersey Shore newsmakers about the issues that affect you. Call 732-505-1160. Now from WOBM News, Town Square Tonight on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160, 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
2.5 years after Superstorm Sandy, it's still a hot topic and will continue to be for years. Ever since that event and the billions of dollars from the federal government set aside to counter its destruction, rebuilding here at the shore plods along at a snail's pace. Where does the flood of money that's supposed to restore people and lives and homes narrow to a rivulet? With the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or is it with state programs that allocate it? And with suspicions of fraud now impacting insurers as well as filers, who can be trusted? I'm Tom Mongelli, WOBM News. Dr. Phil Nufrio of Seaside Park is a key driver of the Stop FEMA Now movement, which seeks massive reform from the very top of the chain on down. Why does the road to reconstruction seem loaded with landmines, and who should disarm them? We'll examine those issues and listen to your concerns here in the town square tonight. Dr. Nufrio, by way of introduction, is a professor of public policy and administration and emergency management in the MPA program at Metropolitan College of New York. He's an international scholar in the field of public policy and administration. He's an author of 2 books and 7 articles and symposia in the field of public policy and administration. Before spending 30 years in academics, he worked in the federal government, including the Executive Office of the President, Housing and Urban Development, and the National Bureau of Standards. He's also an organizational development specialist for Kaiser Permanente of California. Dr. Nufrio, thanks for coming in all the way from Seaside Park tonight.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me here.
Let's start with the big picture and work down. You attended a conference in Chicago, which you outlined a lot of the points that you're going to reiterate here. And the biggest point is there's an imbalance right from the get-go with regard to dispersal of funds and then the allocation of them on the next level. Right. Where do you see the discrepancies and to what do you attribute them?
Well, maybe if you don't mind, I'd like to just provide some background leading up to the New Jersey piece of that. And I want to go to this 2015 New Jersey Fair Housing Report, which has been quoted throughout the media, where they documented what most of us know about the storm, that there are 58,961 primary homes that received major damage from the storm. Of that, 40,500 were classified as severe. And this total didn't even include the 21,900 rental properties, which were damaged, 15,000 of which were classified as severe. So right after the storm in January 2012, Congress passed the Sandy Recovery Bill, which authorized over $50 billion in relief to the states impacted by Superstorm Sandy. And one of the programs enacted from this legislation was New Jersey's Reconstruction, Rehabilitation, Elevation, and Mitigation Program, otherwise called REM. Anybody who's a storm victim knows what the acronym REM means. Now, REM was designed to assist the bulk of the 40,000 damaged properties. It was conceived as a supplemental program to help homeowners meet unmet needs as the result of insurance settlements that prevented homeowners from full recovery. I am one of them. REM was modeled after Louisiana's Road Home Program, which, by the way, was funded to the tune of $11 billion. New Jersey earmarked only $1.1 billion to the REM program. And in contrast to New York, New York has $5 billion in its comparable REM program called New York Rising. So to begin with, we have to look at least the startup of this. A year ago, 6 of our state reps wrote to the U.S. congressional delegation from New Jersey and questioned, you know, why is New Jersey getting such a low amount designated for housing recovery compared to the $4 or $5 billion that went to New York? To this day, their questions have not been answered. So, you know, just to start off with, we're looking at the population that was destroyed, and we narrowed it down to this 10,000 or more who are relying on REM to, we often use the word, to make their homes complete or to make their lives complete again.
Those questions that went unanswered, where did they send them? Who got those questions?
There were state representatives from Monmouth and Ocean County, mm-hmm. six of them.
I remember when that happened.
Okay, that was a year ago. I just uncovered this article about two days ago in preparation for this. I'm looking at their points, and they made three points in there that the issues are still ongoing. And one of them was, why is New Jersey so underfunded compared to New York? And if you really want to make a comparison, to Road Home in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the hearsay that I get is that it could have been the governor's decision to not do a matching type of arrangement like New York to generate more money. I happen to think that, you know, with Cuomo being the former HUD secretary, he kind of probably knew the ins and outs more of how to squeeze more money out of the feds than Governor Christie, because, you know, he was a HUD secretary.
All right, but within that, isn't there a structure under which those funds have to be sought and allocated? Isn't there an accountability process? It's not like he can go into a back room and say, "Hey guys,
right.
I need $5 billion. I can't use the $1 billion. So
well,
what are you
going to
do for
me?" New Jersey ended up getting more than $1 billion. I mean, they ended up getting something like $8 billion, but they divided that $8 billion up into different sub programs.
Mm-hmm.
Rental assistance, as an example. And, I know I'm going to open up a can of worms when I talk about how they've created a whole new Section 8 from these Sandy recovery funds.
Open away.
Okay.
This is
one
city.
I have to question, to what extent is that cost effective when you still have thousands and thousands of homes that are still unrepaired? And, again, I think that was also driven by HUD's mandate to provide funds to help those of low income. You know, which is part of HUD's mission. I mean, I worked at HUD. I kind of know the HUD mission.
Mm-hmm.
That was another piece. Health and Human Services for the federal government got a piece. Other state departments got a piece. So by the time they got down to – and then there was the Landlord Incentive Repair Program, which got a piece. All right? But when you got down to the actual homeowner's piece, it ended up becoming this $1.1 billion. So where were those decisions made? I can't speak for the state. I would imagine that it probably was done between the state and the Fed to say, okay, this is how we're going to break the $8 billion or so up. But the bottom line is homes were damaged, all right? We're still dealing with thousands and thousands of homes. In the REM program alone, 11,000 homes are still waiting for money where they've only had, according to the Fair Housing Report, only 328 homes within the last month was reported as being complete. So why the discrepancy? Okay. How can you go from 11,000 to 328 2.5 years later?
Mm-hmm. Just this week, in response to a question regarding this, and it wasn't actually his focus, but Governor Christie said, you know, well, we all knew this, essentially paraphrasing him, this is going to take years. We knew it was going to take years.
Right.
Is he missing anything here, or, you know, I mean, like, no? I think it's fair to assume we all knew this was going to turn around overnight,
right?
But is he sending a message that we should not expect this to happen for 10 years like New Orleans?
Well, I mean, I think while some delay is unavoidable in any rebuilding, just, you know, I mean, it's New Orleans is still rebuilding. I mean, here we're 10 years later. New Jersey's deep problems and initial rollback, a rollout, set the state back significantly. Like when they created that super contracting structure with URS and Gilbane, and they ended up firing that first contractor, and there was a payout on that. When you look at the overhead, which we'll talk about later, that basically they created these pathways called Pathway B and C. Ultimately, they eliminated Pathway C because they realized that they would never be able to implement it given what they put on paper. So that created more. See, I started out as a Pathway C person. Mm-hmm. When I realized what was happening and how I would be strapped to rebuild, I said, hey, wait a minute. I want to move to Pathway B. Let me control the money and hire my own contractors so that I would be able to rebuild. Many folks like myself opted for that. Others were stuck in C. So there were these rollout issues from the get-go on how they designed this program. I mean, I can't blame the governor. I mean, the governor brought in consultants from New Orleans, but I frankly, between me and the audience, I think they hired a bunch of neophytes who really didn't process out the lessons learned from New Orleans. They were more concerned about this duplication of benefits issue, which I think created, I call it a culture of paranoia. Well, you can't receive duplicating benefits. And that created this whole issue with the SBA, which we could talk about later. But there were
all
major—
right, but that speaks to the same point I made earlier about, you know, rules are rules.
Right.
So if you are essentially double dipping in another sense of the word than we've come to know it, don't you have to be accountable for that?
Yeah, but you see, our state reps a year ago questioned the SBA rule. They said, if you allowed the people of Louisiana to get an SBA loan as well as road home money to make themselves whole, why are you applying different rules to New Jersey?
What was the answer to that?
They haven't got an answer.
Mm-hmm.
There's no answer. They're saying, well, that's the way we set it up. Sorry, you've got to accept it as it is. So, you know, again, it's how the bureaucracy responds and how they develop policies. And I would say, and many, I hope some will call in, many of the victims have been dealing with this fluid change in policies from the get-go. Every week there's a new policy.
Dr. Phil Nufrio is our guest, and he's from Seaside Park. He's with Stop FEMA now, and he has spent a great deal of time since his home was destroyed in the Superstorm going through the minutiae of policy and trying to bring some clarity to that process as he goes along. Now, you may be sitting there and like the scout from Brick Township in his trailer who asked the governor, why am I still on a trailer 2.5 years later? Right. Maybe you too. Right. You may be renting. You may be living at your friend's house. You may be living at your mother's house. I don't know. Well, give us a call and, you know, bring your questions to Dr. Phil Nufrio because he's been at this. We're going to be here actually a few minutes past our normal closing time, right up to the next event, which will be a basketball game. So have a couple of bonus round moments here. In the meantime, we are going to just step out for a second. You collect your thoughts and give us a question and join us here in the town square tonight. We'll be right back.